On behalf of Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, the priests, brothers, and seminarians from Immaculate Heart Seminary, Mother Mary Bosco, and the Daughters of Mary, I wish you all a very blessed and happy new year. Today is the feast of the circumcision of our Lord. It is, of course, a holy day of obligation. And the epistle for this morning's Mass is taken from the St. Paul's Epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of this morning's Holy Gospel. Looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, one bright and early Christmas morning, a boy by the name of Bobby crawled out of bed and with his brothers and sisters dashed down the stairs, and seeing many presents under the tree, that Santa Claus had indeed come, they went over and they tore open their gifts with boisterous excitement. Now Bobby saw one gift carefully wrapped, and opening it with joyful anticipation, he found in the box a genuine leather baseball glove, something he had really wanted for a long time. "Wow," the others exclaimed. But seeing that there was no tag on it, the other brothers and sisters wondered who gave such a wonderful gift to Bobby. "Was it Uncle Bill? Did Uncle Bill give it to you?" asked his brother Tim. "No, he didn't," Bobby confidently answered. "Was it Grandpa? Was it Grandpa who gave you the glove?" inquired his sister. "Nope, it wasn't Grandpa either." "Who gave it to you then? Is there a name on it?" Bobby explained. He said, "Even though there's no name on it, I know that Mother gave it to me." And his brother and sister asked in one voice, "How do you know?" "Well," said Bobby, "because no one else loves me that much." In other words, my dear friends, Bobby was saying that he knew that this wonderful gift had come from his mother, even though there was no tag on it to let him know this. He knew this because only her deep and insightful love for him would know what he wanted or needed. Her special love would drive her to provide such a wonderful gift for her son. Well, my dear friends, looking at the stable of Bethlehem and thinking of its meaning during this Christmas season, and looking at everything we have and how blessed we are, especially here at this chapel, we also can say, no one but God could have done all of this, because no one else could love us that much. My dear friends, today is the Feast of the Circumcision. It is the feast in which we commemorate the first time our divine Savior, while still a little infant, shed his most precious blood. And it brings to mind how our Lord would, at the end of his life, shed this blood again by suffering a most cruel passion, suffering a most cruel death on the cross. When we look at the whole life of our divine Savior, we see that it really seemed to be one of constant suffering. Right? He was born in piercing cold and swaddling clothes, surrounded by smelly animals. He had to flee into Egypt to save his life. During his life, he was constantly rejected by his fellow men, the very chosen people of God who were to accept him. He was harassed by the scribes and Pharisees, contradicted. They often accused him of blasphemy, and many attempts were made to stone him to death. And so we see that his life was one of suffering. And we ask ourselves, why did he suffer so much? Why did he do all of this? Well, he did it because by these things he would merit infinite graces for us. By these things, the sufferings, the most precious blood that he shed, he won for us heaven. He won for us heaven, and if we will but take advantage of these merits through the sacraments and the practice of virtue, we could be happy with him forever in heaven. And so, my dear friends, on this great feast day, look at the crib of Bethlehem. God made man. To think of the little tiny hands, his infant feet, his wide, innocent eyes, his tender smile. Feel the warmth of his little heart beating. God as a tiny little infant. And then, my dear friends, turn from the crib and cast your gaze on the crucifix. Those same hands and feet driven through with nails. Those same innocent eyes now searching for consolation. His dry, parched lips thirsting, asking for love. His heart pierced open to receive and comfort those he loved. And so with all of this, my dear friends, looking at the crib and looking at the crucifix, we truly see how much God loves us, even after we rebel against him so much by our sins. He still loves us with a deep, tender, with a burning love in his sacred heart. For it is the measure of what he was willing to do, the crib and the crucifix, to win our hearts. And my dear friends, we can look at the other gifts that our Lord has given us here at this chapel. How God has blessed us here at this chapel shows that he loves us, that he has a particular love for us. I was thinking just recently, about a year ago, I had a sick call in Albany, the Albany Medical Hospital. And after I was finished with the sick call, I was trying to look for my car in the parking lot. And a man stopped me on the street and was very happy to see a priest. He went up to me and he said, "Father, my son is very sick in the hospital, and he's lost his faith since his mother died a couple of years ago. He said, please, please tell me how I can get a priest to go and see him if he wants a priest." And so I explained to him what to do and gave him my card and the seminary phone number. And thank God, both he and his son called asking for a priest, and we were able to visit the son. But this situation did really make me think, how blessed are we? This man had no idea how to get a hold of a priest. Right? Here we have priests and sisters, we have confession. We know we could call the priest at any time for extreme unction. This man had no idea how to get a hold of a priest, except he happened to see me in the parking lot. How blessed we are, my dear friends, to have true priest, the sisters, we have the sacraments so available to us. How blessed we are to have the true Mass every Sunday, confessions often, our Lord, the true body and blood of Christ present in our tabernacle, when really so many in the world do not have this. Some of our missions, our mission in Idaho, they get Mass once a month. Right? And we have the Blessed Sacrament here, our Lord reserved in the Blessed Sacrament all the time. We can say, and it certainly seems, that God has a special love for us. I would say with how much he has given us and blessed us with, it seems he considers us to be his special friends. Let us be moved by God's signs of love towards us. Let us be moved to change our lives this new year. May this new year be for each one of us a time of real improvement, a time of returning love to the Most Sacred Heart, especially by the practice of patience during times of tribulation. God forbid we find ourselves here again this time next year with no more love or devotion than we have now. My dear friends, let your love for the Christ child and the thought of his love for you move you to be generous in carrying out any resolutions you might make. And remember that he became very little on Christmas in order to raise you up, in order to make you great, so that you could be happy with him forever in heaven. Considering all that he has done for us, the way that God treats us, we, my dear friends, can say with St. Thomas Aquinas, God acts as though we were his God. And we, my dear friends, with sort of the same sentiments as Bobby in the story, we can say, no one but God could have done this, done all of this, because no one but God loves us that much. My dear friends, our divine Savior has proved his love for us by all that he suffered. It is our turn now to prove our love for him. May God bless you, and may you have a holy and a blessed new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.